And I pray that Christ be around me and be through me and in spite of me, that God's good news be preached today. And we do that through the hearing of Scripture. We're hearing the 21st chapter of John. And when they had finished breakfast, its disciples and Jesus, he came and did that kind of barbecue of grilled fish on the lake shore. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" John said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten your belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate what kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Now, I'm a little bit out of order today. Really, I'm downright radical. Did you notice? Okay, I am preaching a scripture that should be preached after Easter during Lent. Oh, the gasps were enormous. It's true, I am. I know, this is how radical this church is. This text is supposed to be preached on Easter. It's not supposed to be preached during Lent when it's a time of preparation, a time of penitence, a time of getting ourselves ready for Easter. But I had to preach it this morning. It's what was called for me to preach, so I put caution to the wind, and here I am. Ooh. But the truth is, we know or we hear about Jesus' resurrection. It's not a secret to us. Lent is a time of focus, and so I break a little bit of tradition this morning. And part of the reason I decided to preach this text is because we have a congregational meeting after worship today. If you didn't know it, you're in a Presbyterian church this morning. And a Presbyterian church is a distinctive way of worshiping and a distinctive way of following Christ. And one of the ways that we are distinctive is we believe that we're a church of the people, that we elect men and women, lay people, to lead us, and that it's not all the power invested in the pastor. That's a really kind of different thing. And it speaks to us, and it's important to who we are. And one of the ways we show that we believe all people have gifts of God is when we elect them for officers, deacons, and elders. And that happens today. And so we have a congregational meeting. We do have to have one of these a year. That's kind of a rule. And we could have them more if we needed. And there's a special reason that we have them. Here I'm quoting from our Book of Order, which is our Constitution, which is kind of our guidebook to kind of help us to lead ourselves. That you have these meetings for the purposes appropriate for congregational consideration. That's a fancy way of saying, you got things you all need to talk about, you need to talk about them. And the other one is for business purposes. And it's kind of limited what you're supposed to do with these. One, you elect officers, elders, and deacons. You call a new pastor. You change the pastor's kind of package. Or you have things to do with, selling of property and those kind of things. Four. Well, today we're doing two of them. Electing of officers and were up in my package. I'm getting a little pay thing. I'm all for that. But it has to happen in a meeting. You all know about those things. And then we're going to do a couple of other things that we decide is important for the consideration. One of them we're going to do is you're going to see the budget. You're not going to be able to vote up or down the session. The elders have already done it, but you're going to see where our money goes, how we spend it. And I got to tell you, I am thankful for that. Because you've probably been hearing around the Bay Area about there's a church where the pastor has been asking everyone's money, a lot of it, and been doing things that aren't quite right. Couldn't really happen in this church. You know where the money's going, and you get to see it. And I am thankful for that. I mean, that is a really important thing to me. So we're going to look at that budget just because this church has said it's important for you and for me to know. The other piece we're going to do is the folks that lead the church, the deacons and the elders, they're going to give a little report. They're going to tell what they've been doing and what they hope to do next year. They're framing it. It's how did we feed the sheep of God and how will we be doing it in the future? And I love that fact. They're going to say, this is what we're doing and this is what we hope to do, to kind of remind us where we've been and where we're hoping to be. So in light of a congregational meeting, I had to pick a scripture. And the scripture I was preaching today was from the Gospel of Luke. It's about the parable of the fig. Ooh, that's a biggie. Jesus basically said, if the fig doesn't grow, you cut it down. Cut the tree down. Oh, that really didn't preach so much. Yay. So I called friends and said, I've got a congregational meeting. What am I going to preach? And friends gave me lovely ideas or none at all. And one said in South Carolina, how about that feed the sheep thing, Maggie? Why don't you do that one? I kind of went, ugh, why not? It makes perfect sense. It's how do we feed each other? How do we feed God's people? How do we seek to be the sheep and the shepherds? So we move to this Gospel of John. And it's an interesting passage. Some of you may know that the gospel really stops at chapter 20. That this chapter is kind of a later addition. Now, I can't tell, but scholars can tell because how the Greek is and the language and all that kind of stuff. It's added later. It really stops at verse 30 and 20. This is the first ending. And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are witnesses so that you may come to believe. So I should be reading my reading glasses. So these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing with him, you may believe in his name. See, that's the ending. Believe in his name, that's it. And then there's a whole nother chapter. It's kind of like an epilogue or an addition or a PS, a postscript. Do you know what that is for those of you that still write letters? P.S. is, oh, this is the important stuff. This is what I forgot to tell you. This is what it is. When I used to go to camp, I would write letters, and I would say, life is wonderful. I love camp. And then I'd say, P.S., send candy. P.P.S., I'm homesick. And then I'd go, P.P.P.S., send more candy. And if my mom would have got those letters, it was those postscripts that was really important. And so I look at this last chapter as a postscript that the early writers and recorders of the gospel said, this is a story you need to hear. This is one of those things that really needs to be written down. And so we have this passage. It's after the great breakfast, the grill on the beach, and Jesus, I would guess, takes Peter aside. And there are these questions. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep and follow me. Now, I will tell you, the word for sheep and the word for love, they're a little bit different, but it doesn't really make a difference. They are trying to emphasize this love and this feeding to Peter. Now, do you remember Peter? He's the one that denied Christ 3 times. So in some ways, this passage is giving him some forgiveness. That Christ is saying, I know you denied me, but you are still mine. So there's forgiveness, and there's graciousness, and there's opportunity in this passage. When you hear something repeated 3 times, you also know it's there for emphasis. It's to pay attention to it. Tom Long said these words, Peter is being offered forgiveness, but it's not just forgiveness of a friend given to one who's betrayed him. It's not just a second chance, but forgiveness flowing from the power of the risen Christ, who is willing to restore Peter's future. This episode does not end in kind of a Jesus and Peter shaking hands and saying, let bygones be bygones. But instead, Jesus is heading off a path and saying, follow me, follow me. And it's carved out of resurrection hope and a mission. Come and follow me. We have more to do. So it's a passage of forgiveness and graciousness and opportunity. And it's a passage about sheep. And I got to tell you, San Francisco, we just don't know a lot about sheep. And I'm constantly learning about them. One of our elders at a meeting just taught me something about sheep this Tuesday night. He said, sheep cannot be fed. I said, no, wait. He said, well, you can't like put a bowl out and a sheep will feed. You can't just feed them with a trough. They have to be led out. They have to go and walk around and feed. You just can't make it easy. I'm going to put out some sheep food and you guys take care of yourself. They will starve to death from what I hear. Sheep need a shepherd to help them feed. They need to be led to the water. They need to be led to grass. When they get there, they will eat up. But sheep, not so bright. Because they will just overgraze. And if someone doesn't take them somewhere else, they're not going to really move. Or they go off on their own and they get lost. They need a shepherd. So are we the sheep or are we the shepherd? Yes. We're both in this story. We are all sheep, all of us. And we are ultimately led by the Christ. But we're also the shepherds. I mean, Maggie, pastor, pastora, as our sexton says, la pastora. It reminds me that I get to be the pastor, the shepherd of you all, but I'm not doing it by myself. We all get to be shepherds in some ways too. And I'm caught by we have elders and deacons to help us be led, to help us listen to God's word. And you're going to have people today that are willing to step up and be shepherds. Now, I want to tell you, not everyone said, yes, use me. They said, maybe, or yes, or I think God's calling me. They're feeling a little bit underqualified, or they're feeling qualified, but they're going to be trained, and we're leading together. They're trusting that God has given them gifts. Our book of order again says this. I love these words. The church's ministry is a gift from Christ for the whole church, everyone. But Christ alone rules and calls and teaches and uses the church as he wills, exercising his authority by the ministry of men and women who establish God's new creation. Well, this is kind of scary. God uses the church as he wills. Uh-oh, you better watch out, because when Christ gets in the midst of it, it sometimes gets messy. We don't always go where we want to go, but Christ will lead us. And so he calls within the whole people of God those who fill particular functions, members ordered to serve in ministries together. And that's these elders and deacons who are saying yes when they don't know quite what they're doing to help lead us. I want to think about sheep a little bit. Go back to that. That sheep have to be moved around a lot. And that when you're a sheep, it means you're journeying and you're moving. And sometimes it will be lots of green grass. And sometimes it will feel like you're in a place where there is not much grass. Sometimes you're going to go to a place and it's a dead end and you have to turn around. And if you leave sheep in one place doing the same old thing, guess what happens? No food. And I think that one for me as the church, we kind of like things the way they are. Don't change anything. Well, you know, if you don't move and you don't change, guess what happens? You starve to death. You don't grow. So I hear God in this passage reminding me, you got to follow the shepherd. You got to try some things. You got to go over here, and sometimes it will work, and sometimes it won't. But our good shepherd promises to be with us. Huh. Oh, for a pastor like me, that's good news. It reminds me that change is God's way. Growth is God's way. That Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, look at Christ saying, hey, you're going to feed my sheep with me. I'm going to use you. There is graciousness and forgiveness and opportunity in this resurrection life that we're about. So if you're one of God's sheep where you are, welcome to the flock. If you're a little bit lost, welcome to the flock. If you're hungry, welcome to the flock. If you're just here on the edges, welcome to the flock. For we are God's sheep. We lead and we follow, but ultimately we follow the Christ, the one that says, follow me. That's what I am about as a pastor. That's what you are as a congregation. So we seek to follow Christ. So come. Come to follow God. Because he is our shepherd and we are the sheep. He makes us lie down in green pastures beside still waters. And even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you are still with me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Those words of promise from the 23rd Psalm are still ours. So come on, sheep. Listen and be fed. We'll go downstairs. You'll get a real meal, some actual food of substance, because Presbyterians know when we fed, we listen. We go down there to remember, down to the fellowship hall after the service, that we have enough to share. We go down there to remember that we have a God of abundance. An abundance of love, abundance of forgiveness, abundance of trust that says, here, feed my sheep and let yourself be led. So let's go sheep and let's go shepherds and let's follow the one who calls us this day and every day. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, our shepherd, help us to remember that we have been asked, just as Peter was, to feed your sheep scattered over all the earth. Bless the continuing relief efforts of Presbyterian disaster assistance in places far away and often quite distant from our thoughts. All too often, we forget that need does not disappear just because the headlines might fade. Many of us may never see these places, but we can always send our presence in the form of love, prayer, and resources, just as you have asked us to do. The atrocities of the continued war in Syria continue to challenge the limits of human comprehension. Peaceful resolution seems beyond reach, but we know that nothing is impossible with you. We offer prayers for a Catholic Church in painful transition as the faith chooses a new leader in the midst of great challenges and upheaval. Here in home, we face continued horror in the face of mass shootings. Yet we remain paralyzed and polarized in an atmosphere of blame and fear. We pray that this moment does not escape us yet again without action. We also pray for reasoned discourse among our nation's leaders in Washington in place of finger pointing and impasse in the face of budget disputes. Storms and blizzards continue to buffet us. But amid all the devastation, we often find reason for hope. God's children remain eager to help each other with generosity and kindness through challenging times. We ask your loving kindness for members and friends of Old First in special need. We offer special prayers for the friends of Charles Burns, a church member who died on February 24th. We ask your loving presence for Evelyn Moelberg, who is entering hospice care. And we pray for Evelyn's daughter, Diane, that she finds strength to deal with the issues ahead. We remember in our prayers the family and loved ones of Rod McLucas, Pam Byers' younger brother, who has just passed away unexpectedly. We ask comfort for the family still in shock. We also ask your healing power for Donnie, a regular worshiper with us, who is facing a serious health challenge. We pray for our prayer partners this week, Michael Carrero, Carol Carter, Mary Carter, Andy, Yvonne, Joshua, Samuel, and Annie Chang, Ted and Betsy Chow, Buddy Tate Choi and Jeannie Choi Tate, our neighbors and all who worship with us today, and the Sojourn Chaplaincy at San Francisco General Hospital. We give thanks for all our blessings and express gratitude for family and friends, as well as the rich fellowship of this splendid congregation. We thank you for the leadership of Pastor Maggie and the dedicated staff, elders, deacons, and volunteers of the church. And so we pray to you, gracious God, in expectation and in thanksgiving as you continually recreate the universe into a shared future. We know that you do not work alone. We must feed your sheep. Your spirit of creative energy is always joined with ours, urging us on, even when we are unaware that we are your partners in creation. Help us to bring your vision for us to life, now and always. Amen.